And I knew I wanted, this is the person I wanted to marry. In fact, you've probably heard me say this. The very time I met her at juvenile court, I was with David Scott and some others. And I turned to him, I said, I'm going to marry that woman. I knew it. I just knew it. So I was in seminary. No money at all. In fact, the opposite of no money. In debt because of student loans. And I was dependent on scholarships and everything else. But I wanted to marry this woman. You know what you have to do, right? If you want to be engaged, you have to buy what? A ring. And I didn't know how in the world I could afford a nice ring. I couldn't even afford a terrible ring, a cheap ring. Then I remembered. When I was a baby, when I was born, my parents bought one of those universal whole life insurance policies that builds up cash value over time. By the way, they're the worst investment ever. But for me, it was a good investment because I thought, I could cash that thing in. And so I did. And I had money to buy her a ring. There was a member of our church at that time. His name was John Werderman. The Werdermans have since moved to Knoxville. Now they're down in Mississippi. But John said, I can help you pick out a diamond. I didn't know anything about diamonds. He used to work at a diamond shop in Germantown, diamond dealer, a jewelry shop. And so he went and talked to the owner. And John, the owner let John take about 10 diamonds home with him. He said, come over to my house. And I'll teach you about diamonds. I'll show you. We'll pick out one for your wife. So sure enough, I get to his dining room table. He unrolls that velvet, you know, that dark velvet stuff. And the diamonds are right there. And a bing, you know, the lights hit them. He puts some light on them. And he has those little, whatever you call them, little eyeglass things, you know, to really look. I don't know what I'm looking for. Like, yep, that's a diamond. So he starts to explain to me the four C's of diamonds. The diamond value is dependent on the color, right? It's dependent on the clarity, how clear it is, on the cut of the diamond, and how many carats. Those are the four C's. I didn't know anything. I knew carats, right? So we talked more and more about the cut of the diamond. When the cut of the diamond, what I mean by that is there are lots of facets, different faces of the diamond, and if they have to be done a certain way in order to really reflect the brilliance of the light. Before we get to that, here's a picture of our engagement time. Those same friends I mentioned, we all went to the beach together, and I surprised Liz. I had the diamond ring in my pocket, and we went for a long walk on the beach. And while we're doing that, our friends are setting up this little scene. And then, man, I'm nervous. Whew, I'm nervous. So we're walking, and my hands getting sweaty, you know. And so we walk a while, and I thought, let's go back. So we turn back, and as we get closer to our condo, she sees the torches. She's like, what's going on up there? Is that some kind of Satan worship? I don't know what she said, but she's like, what is going on? I mean, is this some kind of native thing? I don't know. What? I said, I don't know. Let's go check it out. So we went up there, and there it was. She's still confused the whole time and had a little bottle of wine. Had two little plastic cheap wine glasses, you know, where the pedestals pop off. And I had placed the diamond ring on that pedestal. Okay? The ring that was in my pocket was a bubblegum machine ring. So I sat down with her and I said, Liz, I love you. I want to marry you. You know I have no money at all. Liz was paying for she paid for this trip, actually. She was working at Agape. She's the only one who had money, and she worked at Agape. She didn't have much at all. So I said, you know I don't have any money, but I want to marry you. And I brought out that little bubblegum machine ring. I said, this is all I can afford right now, but I know you love me. I know you want to get married. I will buy you something when I get some money. And I said, look, and it had a little slit in it, and you could bend it. I said, it's even resizable. So she like, oh, she put, let me put it on her. And she said, I do. I said, let's celebrate. And I popped the cork and I poured the wine. And we both had a glass. And she didn't even know it. She's thinking, and her, the ring is right there on her pedestal. You know, she sees it. And it was just a great little story that I will always remember. And thank you to all my friends who helped me with that. And that's one reason I love this church. We have friends here who are involved in our lives, side by side, through thick and thin, through good times, through bad times. And I had a friend who helped me pick out that diamond from all the collection that he could get together. Diamonds are really cool, and they are really expensive. But I want to talk about the facets of the diamond. And this is an official definition from a really scholarly source called Wikipedia. The ideal product of facet cutting is a gemstone that displays a pleasing balance of internal reflections of light, known as brilliance, strong and colorful dispersion, which is commonly referred to as fire, and brightly colored flashes of reflected light, known as scintillation. When you look at a diamond's brilliance, that it's there because there are many, many facets. And that diamond ring that I had embedded in a ring for Liz, every one of those facets represented why I loved her. And we could list, and you could too, the reasons why you love your spouse. One of the main reasons, when I went to ask Liz's mom, went to Minnesota, I met her mom, and I was going to ask for Liz's hand in marriage. And so I talked to her mom, I asked, I thought this was going to be a simple process. Well, yeah, that'd be great. You're a great guy. I just met you 5 minutes ago, but yeah, it's great. It wasn't that way. She interviewed me. One of the questions she asked me was, why do you want to marry my daughter? And one of the answers I gave, this is one of the facets of the diamond of our love, is that I don't know a better person, and she makes me a better person. And we could list, you could too, all the reasons why you love your spouse, or you love your kids, or you love your grandkids, or your parents. There are multiple reasons. And a diamond is a really good expression or a symbol of our multifaceted love for each other. There's not just one reason why you love that person that you love. There are many, many reasons. And I think a diamond represents our church. And all the different reasons why we love our church is brilliantly displayed with all these individual facets. I've listed some here. And these are by no means all of them. I love the church because it is the body of Christ. I love the church because Christ loves the church. Christ, we are the bride of Christ. We are the community of the Holy Spirit. We are the family of God. We are the children of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. This church is the dwelling place of God. He says, I will come among you, and that's a plural you, make you my temple. I will live in you, the church. The church equips me for ministry. I love it. It encourages me. It gives me hope. The church challenges me to live and think more like Jesus. Jesus died for the church. The church prays for me. The church laughs and cries with me. It's a place where I can serve and a place that I can be served. It's a way I can help people find their way back to God. The church is God's plan A, to bless the world and restore the world. The church picks me up. The church gives me grace. The church gives me second chances. The church forgives me over and over again when I say things I shouldn't say and do things I shouldn't do for the second, third, fourth, and fifth times. The church accepts people but does not expect perfection. I could really worship God in freedom here, in freedom and in spirit and in truth in my church. I don't have to worry about people judging me when I'm one of those crazy people that raises their hands a lot. And I just tell people it's because I need, because of my flawed nature, I need all the receptivity I can get. So I put my antenna up to make a better connection with God. But, you know, I've been to some churches and they frown on that. And they have said to me, we don't do that here. But not this church. There's freedom. This church, and I'm amazed continually at this, there's a lack of gossip at this church. I've been at churches where everybody, people are talking about me, talking about each other, and there's all these factions going on. I love my church. Now, we watched a video early on some of you answering the question, I love my church because, or finishing that statement. We have a few more we're going to show now.
I love my church because I can find a place in God's mission here.
I love my church because I like serving with this group. This is a group of servants.
I love my church because it is a place where ordinary, everyday people can come together without judgment, receive grace and healing, and be empowered to do the work of the Lord.
I love my church because we love each other.
I love my church because my friends and family are here.
I love my church because we love God and we love others and we try to live that in everything that we do.
I love my church because of the people and they have donuts.
I love my church because my friends and family are here.
I love my church because it's one big happy family.
I love my church because even though my wife and I have only been coming here a few weeks, it feels like home, and when we are here worshiping, it is like worshiping with family.
I love my church because it is such an incredibly generous church. There is always some kind of opportunity for people to serve one another. I have been blessed by so many people and their generosity, and I've had opportunities to be generous in return. I love my church because they are so giving.
I love my church because the people are truly the hands and feet of Jesus.
I love my church because they're welcoming and loving.
Won't you come and join us on this journey of showing God's amazing love and grace to others? Hallelujah. Amen.
Some of you were not happy with me while we were videotaping these because I gave you instructions to give me one sentence. Some of you were really compliant. Others just kept talking and talking. One sentence is not adequate. One sentence is not adequate to explain why we love this church. Because it's like a multifaceted diamond. We could preach the sermon series. This is only going to be a two-week sermon series, but we could preach it for the rest of the year and into the new year, taking a reason why we love our church each time and exploring that. So some of you wanted to say more, and some of you did say more, like this next video.
Lays the sick beat. I love my church because we love each other. Father, mother, sister, and brother.
Hang on. Let me fix something because you're not seeing the whole thing. Logan did something I want everybody to see. Okay, here we go.
Lay us a sick beat. I love my church because we love each other. Father, mother, sister, and brother.
We stick together through thick and thin. Woven together like a whole wheat. Then the church ain't a building with walls and a steeple. The church is you and me loving each other, the people. The juice is the blood, the bread is the body. That girl's a hottie. Hey man, you know lust is ungodly.
Aww.
You got me. Ha. CCC, yeah, we're united. Under Jesus' leadership, we won't be divided. Leading people to become developed followers of Jesus. Pick up your cross, cause he's the only one to freeze us.
I love my church, cause we know what's right.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light.
We out.
Alec, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this in love, Alec. Don't change your current career path.
But Jacob, you've got a future.
You have a, yeah. There are so many, they gave us so many reasons right there why they love our church. We could go on and on about this, but today, I'm going to whittle it down to just two things. The two, I think, overarching reasons why I love my church is because my church loves God and my church loves people. There's a story that's in more than one of the stories of Jesus in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's a story about a guy who is a religious leader. He's a Jewish religious leader. He comes up to Jesus, and he says, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal salvation?" And Jesus turns it on him and says, "You know the law. What does it say?" And he quotes from Deuteronomy 6, the greatest, what Jesus calls the greatest two commandments. And in Mark 12, this is the first greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your what? And with all your, and with all your, and with all your. The older I get, and I'm 52, by the way. The older I get, the more I experience people, the more I experience church life, the more I experience life, the more I am convinced that everything about our lives goes back to these two greatest commands. Everything in our Christian walk. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And I think this church does that. And I love this church because of that. I have seen so much growth in people because they love God and they want to love God more. Nobody loves God enough. I've seen the journeys and the paths that so many of you are on moving closer to God. You love God. And you want to love Him even more. I see it when you serve. When you give generously your time, your money, your energy, your thoughts, I just see it. I see it everywhere. That you love God. I hear it in your prayers. I hear it when you tell your story about what God is doing in your life. Yesterday I did a wedding. And it was a believer and a believer. But this believer was not as much of a believer as this believer was. I have one gung-ho Christian, one who is just beginning the journey. He doesn't pray much. And I've been trying to get them to pray together as I've been counseling them. You know, just pray one sentence together before you go to bed tonight with the two of you. Just do that. And I challenged them to do that. And that was really difficult for them because it was weird. Well, this week, you know, we looked at the forecast. It was going to be an outside wedding. We looked at the forecast. It was supposed to rain this weekend. At one point, there was a 70% chance of rain on Saturday. So he calls his fiance and says, on Wednesday, I'm looking at the app on my phone. There's 70% chance of rain. We got to cancel the wedding. We got to change it. We got to do something because there was no plan B. It was all an outside wedding or nothing. And she said, honey, this is a perfect opportunity for you to call on God and show him that you trust him. And so he started praying. And an hour later, he looked at his app, and it went down to a 20% chance of rain. And he called her up. He's like, you won't believe this. I've seen that in you. No matter where you are in your journey, how long you've been a Christian, I have seen it in you. I've seen your prayer life. It is amazing who you are. We see it when we come to the supper together. We see it when we worship together. You love God. And when I know that my church loves God, it motivates me. It encourages me. It challenges me to love God more. When I hear some of your stories of faith, sometimes I'm kind of ashamed of my lack of faith. And you encourage me to put my hope and my trust in God. The second reason I love my church is that my church loves people. And here's the second greatest commandment Jesus says. He says, the second greatest commandment is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these two. All of our Christian life, our faith journey, everything hinges on these two commands. Love God with all of our life and love each other as much as we love ourselves. How many problems will be solved in marriages if we did those two things? How many problems would be solved in any relationship if we did those two things? I've seen this in you. I've seen how you love God, and I've seen how you love each other. We do love each other. I see this big time in our growth groups. When our growth groups come together, those are our small groups that meet through, most of them right now. They're all meeting on Wednesday nights right now in people's homes. But those are little communities. They are little families. And it's so evident that we love each other. We take care of each other. There has not been a need. If the need has been made known, our church has taken care of it. Or find a way to help that person help themselves. Because we love each other. In those groups especially, we are openly confessing to each other our problems, our issues. And we are asking for help. We're asking for prayer. People pray for each other. People serve each other. People go to people's yards and fix them up and paint their houses and everything. We love one another. Somebody said it, this is a family and we do life together. That is so true. We love each other. And I love my church because we love each other. But there's another way we love the people. And that is the people outside of our church. We love all people, regardless of color of skin. You know what? A lot of churches can't really say that. Or they might say it, but they don't practice it. We don't care what skin color there is. We don't care what your background is. We will love you. I've seen you love your enemies. That is radical love for people. I have seen it. You've seen it. We love people. We love people who are hurting. And we've had some serving the homeless opportunities this summer. We're going to have some more next month. I've seen you sacrifice and collect items and go down there and give and love. And we love people. This place has been, going back to we love one another maybe, or maybe all people. I'm not sure what would fit this category. But this church, in a lot of ways, has been a hospital for people who are hurting. A lot of people, and maybe you've had a bad church experience. I'll raise my hand. I've had a bad church experience before where I have been judged, where I have been talked about and gossiped about, where my gifts weren't appreciated, the way I worship wasn't appreciated. If I missed a Sunday, boy, they came after me, you know, and they laid the guilt on me. Some of my family members are still eating up with guilt to this day because of a bad church experience. So I get it. You've probably had, and I hope you haven't, but you probably had a bad church experience somewhere in your past. But this church has been a hospital for people who have been wounded by other churches. I can name you several people who came to this church and they said something like, "No other church would let me in." Lida was meeting with some his buddies from one of his old churches one time, and I forgot what the conversation was, and he mentioned, you know, different kinds of people we have at our church, and the guy said, in all seriousness, he said, "Y'all will let anybody come to that church, won't you?" And Lotto said, "Yep." We love people. We love each other inside the church, and we love people outside of the church. That's why I love my church. Here's our motto for this church: leading people to grow into fully developed followers of Jesus. This encompasses both of those greatest commands. Fully developed followers of Jesus, well, you got to love God to do that. That's all about loving God and loving each other. Everything else in there is about people. We want to lead people. We want to lead people like Stephen, who is a mature Christian, to be closer to Jesus, fully developed, more in love with Jesus. We want to lead people like little Gracie Enoch. He's just 4 or 5. How old are you, Gracie? 4 years old. We want to lead people like that, to love Jesus more, to develop. We want to equip them to love and to serve Jesus more. We want to help you. If this is your first time to even step into a church, we want to help you. We want to lead you to grow. It's all about people. It's all about loving God. And what we do, we like to break this down into what we call 3 vital relationships. And these things also summarize the greatest commands that I've been talking about. We say that the first vital relationship, now vital means necessary. Like, you know, they take your vital signs, they're the signs of life. These are the signs of life when it comes to your Christian faith, your faith in Jesus. Intimacy with God. Intimacy with God means you're growing closer to God. And you're doing the things that bring you closer to God. Not that you can do it, but you are opening the door for God to come close to you. We do that through prayer. We do that through meditating and reading our scriptures regularly. We do it through talking with each other and sharing our faith stories. We do it through steps of faith, where, like this guy about the rain, he just decided, because he was encouraged to do this, he decided, "I am going to trust God for this." That builds intimacy with God. So we say what the most important vital relationship is our intimacy with God. The other one we say is our community with other believers. That is, love one another inside this room, inside our groups, the people who are a part of our church, either on the fringe of our church, they're visiting, kind of checking us out, or long-term members, it doesn't matter, little kids, the community of believer. And I think Anita said this in her testimony on the video, we are a community. We are a family. The third vital relationship is influence on the world around us. We love all people. And we want to have a godly influence on anybody that crosses our path. And we want to pray, and we've been talking about how to bless people, to help them find their way back to God. We did a whole 6 weeks on that. That's all about this, having influence on the people around us. Whether the people you work with, you go to school with, whether the family members who aren't involved in the church don't really know God, your server at a restaurant that you see regularly, your postman, whatever. We want to love all people and use our influence to help them, to lead them closer to God. Now, you may not walk everybody into the baptistry. That's not your job. As individuals, our job is to plant seeds of faith, to water those seeds, to cultivate the ground, to help the faith grow. And you may do something. I got a phone call this week. Actually, it was a Facebook message from this girl named Heather. And I didn't recognize her because she's married. She had a different last name. And she said, I just wanted to thank you for helping me when I was in your youth program back at the Gallatin Church. I was at the Gallatin Church in 1990. And I'm like, who is this girl? So I'm like, what is your maiden name? And she tells me, and it's starting to turn some wheels. I'm starting to remember. And I said, I'm sorry. I have no idea how I helped you. I really don't remember your specific situation. And she said, my stepfather was abusing me, sexually abusing me, and physically abusing me. And I'm not bragging on myself, okay? You have these kind of stories too if you're a follower of Christ, and this is what we want to do. And you walked me through that, and you got me out of that house, and you set me up with another family in the church who had girls my age. And I lived there for a year and a half to 2 years until I graduated high school. Now I'm married. I have kids. I am starting an online seminary degree. And she said, I just wanted to thank you. Well, I didn't remember that. I had to call the family that she moved in with and said, do you remember this person? And they go, oh, yeah, da 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 da. Oh, okay. Did I baptize her? I don't even know if I had a Bible study with her. But I planted a seed. I served her. And that's what we do. I've seen you do it. I love you. I love our church because we love people outside of our church. And we want to influence them to love God and to follow Jesus. When I gave Liz that diamond, I was declaring my love for her, and I was promising my love to her. When Jesus gave us the church, he did the same thing. Jesus said, the church is my bride. I love my church, Jesus says. I will build it, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This is my plan A to bless the world. I love the church, he says. And the church is like a diamond. There's so many ways we can love it, and we do love it. But the symbol there is Christ declaring his love for you by giving you the church. And Christ promising to love you by giving you the church. Do you love your church? Why? Why do you love your church? Like I said, some of you really wanted to keep talking, and I had to edit to make the video shorter. Logan helped me to edit those videos down to make them shorter. And I've talked a lot today about why I love my church, but I think you guys have more to say. So next week, you are going to be the sermon. I am looking for several people to take the microphone and to give a fuller answer to the question, or to finish the statement, I love my church because. And we would love to hear some stories from you, specific stories of why you love your church. What has been done for this love for the church to grow inside you? So if you're interested in that, please come talk to me, and we'll get it all organized. If you are here today, well, of course you're here today, maybe you don't really have a love for the church. Maybe it's just your first time here, and there's no way you can love it. It's your first time. But maybe you've had a bad church experience, and maybe you want to get that off your chest. Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus, and you want to become a follower of Jesus, or you want to know how to begin that journey towards being a fully developed follower of Jesus. Well, we want to help lead you to grow towards that. And one way we can do that is to pray with you, to listen to you, and to pray with you. If you have any prayer needs you want us to pray about right now, we're going to stand and sing a song, and I will be in the back with some of our shepherds, and we will take the time to listen to you and to pray for you and to do whatever else we can. Why? Because we love you. Let's stand together.